It's here and now, and surveillance is in the news today. The House Judiciary Committee is holding hearings on those leaked government programs. Congressman James Sensenbrenner, one of the primary authors of the Patriot Act and a staunch advocate of expanded surveillance powers, is saying today he never intended the government to sweep up phone records. And what about license plates? The ACLU published a study today they say shows police across the country may have pictures of your car and know where you were driving because they're using scanners to gather millions of digital records on plates. The ACLU wants police departments to immediately delete any records of cars that are not linked to a crime. So, your phone, your car. Are you glancing nervously at your TV?
Yeah, is it possible that your cable and phone companies are watching you at home? The technology already exists to allow those companies to watch us, and the information they could get from that could help advertisers target us. Here and Now media analyst John Carroll has been collecting data on this issue. He's with us now to sort it all out. Welcome, John.
Good to be here.
So first of all, what exactly can they do right now?
Well, what they can do is they can watch you, they can listen to you, they can detect motion. What Verizon had applied for was technology in DVR, the box that records programs for you, that combines facial, motion, and voice recognition. What it can do is detect conversations. It can detect people.
Wait, you're saying detect. It can hear the conversations?
It can hear the conversations. It's infrared cameras. It's microphones. So it can hear conversations. It can see people. It can watch what they're doing. It can identify branded products. So what they want is, if you're drinking a Budweiser, they can identify that. They'll send you a Clydesdale ad. If you're working out on a treadmill, they can identify that. They'll send you a health food ad. So it's every advertiser's dream, marketing to an audience of one.
They can, you're saying. They can, but they aren't necessarily doing it right now.
They are not doing it right now, to the best of our knowledge. I mean, there's technology built into smart TVs that could be used for that purpose. Right now, nobody seems to be doing it openly. Verizon said, we never intended to use this technology. Why they were seeking a patent for it is a really good question. But right. You know, they said, we're not going to use it. And we're not even close to the people who are really good at this, who are Comcast, Microsoft. Microsoft has this kind of technology built into the Xbox Kinect, the game device. So it's out there. It just hasn't been used in a sort of sinister way.
So let's just be clear. So Microsoft has it to the Xbox Kinect. They haven't used it for this purpose yet. And the Verizon patent application was denied, right?
It was denied. But Verizon has applied for a request for continued examination, which is sort of like an appeal with the patent people.
Well, and we should say it was denied because the patent's already been taken. So somebody's already taken that patent.
Right. There are two similar patents out there, according to the patent office, so they turned it down. But Verizon wants to keep trying.
So Congress is worried about this, as I'm sure many people who are hearing this
I'm
right
worried
now.
About this.
Yeah, exactly. what are lawmakers doing?
Okay, well, there are very few things that are bipartisan creepy, but this is one of them. Democratic Congressman Michael Capuano of Massachusetts and Republican Congressman Walter Jones of North Carolina have combined to sponsor legislation that's called the We Are Watching You Act. and what it says is that companies have to get prior consent from consumers to do this kind of surveillance in the home. And they have to reveal what they're going to collect and how they're going to use it. They have to, if you consent to this, when they are watching you, they have to put up on the screen, we are watching you, so that you'll be aware. It's all very Orwellian. And the final thing is, if you don't want this technology to be active in your television, then they have to provide you with an identical service that doesn't have the tracking device in it.
Look, we know there are a lot of young listeners saying, "And what's a television?" but will this apply to if you get most of your video on your computer?
Yeah, this will apply to any video service that you get. So they would have to alert you when they're actually looking at you.
And this technology they're trying to stop, is it all technology, or are humans involved? In other words, when they say we are watching you, is there a human or is there software that will pick up the word Budweiser or pick up the word, I need to shop for milk? I mean, is it people?
No, there's no little guy with a green eye shade watching all this stuff. This is algorithmic. This is basically technology that can do these things. I mean, a lot of it's out there. This Apple's iPhone Siri, can get a sense of how, if you're mad, if you're anxious, if It's mood recognition technology. It's all out there. It's just a question of how you bundle it and how you apply it.
And if you're thinking right now, oh, I'm just going to not use any of this technology. I'm just going to go out to a regular old store and I'm going to go to a brick and mortar shop. Well, listen to this. This is from a video piece on the New York Times website yesterday about how businesses track people who come in to their stores. They featured the software company RetailNext. Shelley Cohan is the vice president of retail consulting. She explained what the software does.
RetailNext follows the path of a customer through a store. So from the time that they enter the building and then what they do inside that store. Do they go left? Do they go right? And when they go up to a fixture, how long are they standing at that fixture? Are they going to actually make a purchase from that fixture?
So that's lovely. John, is there anything that can be done about that?
Well, not really. I mean, you can turn your phone off and hope they don't have another way of tracking you. But when you walk around with a smartphone, you're walking around with a GPS device on you. So there are all kinds of marketers who want to take advantage of that. So if they know you're in the neighborhood, they want to be able to send you a coupon and say, come in right now and save 20%.
But big picture here, is it worth trying to stop these technological devices from watching you, or do we just have to figure out how to live with this?
It's interesting because it's sort of a balance. I mean, part of this is the cover charge for living in the digital world. I mean, you trade personal information for services and convenience. What happens is people in general will not think too much about it. They'll think, well, that's just the price of living technologically. When they find out the details, when you get into the particulars, such as, you know, we're combining your online activity with your credit card purchases, with your travel, with your motor vehicle activity, all of a sudden, you've got something that is much more complicated, much more sort of three-dimensional than people tend to think. So it's not just name, state and gender. It's a lot more than that.
Well, I'm sure there are also people wondering, when does it be requested by the government? When does the government ask a company, and did you hear anybody say anything else besides, I need to get a bottle of milk or I like Budweiser?
Right. I mean, that's the problem is, you know, this is intended for one purpose. And the marketers and the video providers will say, well, this is what we want it for. But can it be hacked? Can it be subpoenaed by the government? What can happen to it and what else can it be combined with? It's the combination of data now that's really providing a lot of the complexity.
John Carroll, Here & Now's media analyst and a mass communication professor at Boston University. You can find a link to his campaign outsider blog at hereandnow.org. John, thanks so much.
Thank you. I see you.
Okay, first of all, big debate as to whether or not we should use Hall & Oates, which I know they've had a great resurgence, but still, it's Hall & Oates. Or do you know of another song that in more modern day reflects what we're talking about?
This is an old favorite, Robin. I agree with the producers who wanted to put
this on before you were born.
Here & Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston.
Our producers are Alex Ashlock, Lynn Menegon, Emiko Tamagawa, Hitesh Hatti, Jill Ryan, Catherine Gorman, Rachel Rohr, Natalie Winston, Eileen Boinsky, and Jessica Alpert.
And our production assistant is Kainat Khan. Our intern is Tizzy Hope Brown. Our newscast producer is Rachel Paste.
Our technical director is Doug Sugarts, with help from Jim Kiesling and John Parati today. Thank you, John. Our managing editors are Kevin Sullivan and Chris Ballman. Kathleen McKenna is the senior producer of Here & Now.
I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here & Now.
Funding for Here & Now comes from Chipotle Mexican Grill. Committed to the respect of animals, farmers, and the environment, local sourcing and menu information at chipotle.com.